Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Crushing on My Neighbor, a Next-Door Neighbor Romance by Summer Brooks. Narrated by Megan Kelly and Connor Brown. Prologue. Kira. 3 months ago. I had never believed in magic. I hated illusions. I liked when things appeared to be what they were, not what they pretended to be. Basically, if something was there, it was, and if not, then it wasn't. Pretending otherwise gave me a damn headache. That was the old me. The new me was rethinking that silly mindset and currently looking out my bedroom window while chomping on freshly popped buttery popcorn. The show? Jason Cox. My neighbor. My hottest sin sexy neighbor. Our houses were right next to each other, and our bedroom windows were directly opposite, so I got to see him. The workout? Out of the shower with the towel wrapped around his waist. Without the towel wrapped around his waist. Okay, I wasn't a creep. When I noticed he was naked, I'd turn to look the other way. I never saw much, just enough to leave me wanting more. I'd see him get dressed, undressed, talk on the phone, sleep. Okay, now I sounded weird and like I have no life. My life didn't revolve around Jason, no matter how much it seemed otherwise. Only at that very moment, since he was doing pull-ups, his sweaty body was directed right at me. Sweat glistened down his rock-hard torso and made the ridges creating his abs seem deeper. And the V? Oh my God, the V trailing down either side of his hips while he lifted himself up and down. Up and down. Up. And down. Sometimes he did them naked, and the window sill would block the good view right before I could see what he was packing. I bet it was a monster size to fit the rest of his body. Right now, he had on a pair of blue gym shorts that hung really low, like, really low. No man should look this good. He was so handsome. He had shaggy brown hair down to his shoulders, and it had a natural wave to it, so it always looked effortlessly messy, yet sexy at the same time. He had the sharpest jawline. I swear, it could cut glass. And he always kept the right amount of stubble grazing it, the kind where I imagined what it would feel like rubbing over the sensitive flesh of my inner thigh. I got goosebumps thinking about it. My hand hit the bottom of the bowl. I looked down, bummed that I'd already gone through an entire bag of popcorn. I was about to pop another bag and get on with my daily dose of Jason Cox, but when I went to look at him again, he was gone. Poof. Vanished. Into thin air. Like magic. Jason Cox truly made me a believer because a person like him even existing in this world was magic in itself. Ugh, I have a problem. I groaned, setting aside my empty bowl on the nightstand. I fell backward on the bed until I was staring at the ceiling. There was a single glow from the dark star on the wall left by the previous family that had lived in this house. They had two kids. I didn't have the heart to take the star down. There were stories attached to that little star, an endless amount of play days, tears, and laughter. To take that down would make me feel like those days hadn't happened. So I left it there. I wanted my own laughter to fill the room beneath the stars. But right now, it seemed like the only thing happening was my obsession for Jason Cox, and it was growing by the second. Ugh, maybe I was a little on the creepy side. No, I am not. He knows what he's doing, I said to myself as I sat back up. A man like him knew exactly what he was doing, working out, showing off his body, knowing I lived right across the way. I was not the only guilty party here. I was about to get up and go shower when I noticed him out of the corner of my eye again, and this time he had his back turned to me. My jaw dropped to the floor. That isn't fair. I barely whispered as I stared at the bulging ropes rolling down his back. His shoulders were huge. His thick fingers curled around the bar and lifted his heavy weight, and the bedroom light shone against the rounded morsels that I wanted to lick and taste and kiss. Oh, I wanted to kiss his body so much I could feel the need zinging and tickling my toes. I would lavish his body with attention, the attention that it freaking deserved. I'd worship his body. I grabbed the pillow, smacked it against my face, and held it there, slightly debating on whether I wanted to smother myself with it just so I'd stop being a peeping Tom on my neighbor, because I was. I screamed into the feathers until I lost all my air and the hot need for Jason dissipated. I tossed the pillow aside, taking deep calming breaths, and then my idiot brain told me to look again. So my idiot self listened, and I saw his naked, retreating form walking into his bathroom. Even his butt was perfect. It was round, firm, and looked bouncy. Why was he so perfect? I was up to my eyeballs being in love and lust with Jason. Every time we talked, my heart wanted to jump into his hands. Every time he smiled, my knees went weak. And I didn't even want to get started on how he smelled. Oh, God, how he smelled. It was unlike anything I had ever smelled on a man before. It was like a fresh shower, but with a hint of gasoline and exhaust. It was like his clothes were permanently soaked in it. And it only made him that much hotter because he was a NASCAR driver. Not just any NASCAR driver, the driver. And I wanted him to take me for a ride.
Chapter 1. Jason. 2 months later. Getting married. The woman I love more than life itself was marrying someone I considered a best friend. I wasn't sure what pissed me off more, the fact that the news came from Vincent, or that it didn't come from Kira. I sat on my bed, my fingers tapping against my thighs. I stared out my bedroom window into hers. She wasn't home. She was probably out wedding planning or some shit. Damn! I screamed. Finding the nearest thing to grab onto, I chucked the lamp across the room and smashed it against the wall. I couldn't seem to help myself. I walked over to the window to get a closer look to see if maybe she was there, but the curtain didn't move. I knew whenever I was home, and she was home, she'd be by her window. Not only did we have long talks with each other, back and forth, sometimes all night, but she'd also watch me work out. Kira thought I didn't notice her, but I always noticed her. I always gave her a show, because it turned me on to know that she liked what she saw so much. What the heck was I going to do now? I couldn't stick around and be invited to the wedding to watch the woman of my dreams pair off with another man, a man that I knew had no intention of ever loving her the way I loved her, the way I would love her forever. And God, could I ever? For the rest of my damn life, I could love that woman until I was 6 feet under, covered in dirt. I stared at the window, and my mind started to play tricks on me, bringing the image of Kira there. My phone vibrated in my pocket, and I was tempted to ignore it, but I welcomed the distraction right then. I brought my phone out and saw that it was my manager, Cody. Hello? My voice was muffled and cracked. Hey, man, how's the Big Apple? He asked, while the wind blew in the background. Hey, sweetie, why don't you come park that thing over here real quick? He laughed, and then hummed appreciatively. Apparently the woman he was hollering at came closer. Oh, yeah? I brought the phone away from my ear and curled my lip. I hated when he did this. He was such a man-whore. I'd let him go on for a few minutes, murmuring nasty nothings into her ear, before my impatience took over. Didn't you call me for a reason? Cody kept whispering to the girl, and whatever he said made her giggle. Cody, I shouted. Oh, right, sorry, he told me. 1 second, baby, and then I'm all yours. I know you didn't call me baby. What in the world, man? Not you. This hot blonde currently shaking her ass as she walks away from me. Damn, you are missing out, Jason, he exclaimed. Is there a reason why you called? I pinched the bridge of my nose and took a deep breath. Cody made me crazy. Half the time when he called, I ignored him. The other half, I wanted to reach into the phone and strangle him. Right. There's a race down here soon. I signed you up. It's not the usual race. It's nothing like the Charlotte Motor Speedway or Indianapolis 500. It's a bit more amateur, but I want to get you in every fan base. And get this. I heard the guzzle of beer going down his throat. It's on sand. My brows rose when I heard that. A race on sand was intense. I hadn't done one of those since I was 15.
On sand, huh?
You ready to leave the city and come to Daytona? You can do more than a few races every few months. Come on, man. This is where the action is. Get more involved. He was right. I'd slacked off a little since living in New York. New York was never supposed to be a permanent solution. Then again, I never expected to fall in love with my neighbor. She was keeping me here. But what was the point when she was marrying someone else? Yeah, New York was good, but I'm ready to come back. I'll be there within a few days. Hell yeah! That was way easier than I expected. There are so many honeys here waiting for you, man. Honeys. He was so degrading toward women, but he was ignorant about it. He thought it was a compliment.
I don't want your sloppy seconds. That leaves me with who? No one?
I snorted, knowing how much he got around. I wouldn't be surprised if he got an STD and died from it. I warned him all the time, but he said, and I quote, "Is there a better way to go out, dude?" He was a little disgusting in his ways, but he was a good manager and friend.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it anyway. I'll pack up, put the house up for sale, and be there.
Oh, hey, you don't have to sell the house. We can keep it as a party pad for me, you, and Simon. Simon was my brother, and all of us were close. Simon was the responsible one. He ran a corporation and always wore fancy suits. He always managed to come to every single one of my races. He might look out of place in his suit, but he was supportive and the best damn brother I could ask for. It's an expense I don't want, I said. What I really meant was I wanted nothing to do with this house because the one next to it would haunt me if I kept it. I never wanted to come back to New York City again. I was going to put it behind me forever. I was never looking back.
Expense? What? Dude, you're rich. You can own houses all over the world. Hundreds of them.
Just stop, okay? I snapped, raking my fingers through my hair. I don't give a crap about the number of houses I can and cannot have. I just don't want this one, okay? Do you get that? Can you get it through that thick, dumb skull of yours, Cody?
Once the words left my mouth, I regretted them instantly. It wasn't his fault. None of this was his fault.
He had no idea that once I left New York, I'd be leaving behind a part of me that I'd never get back, that I'd never hold again, that I'd never feel again. He had no idea that this move would forever change me as a man, and not for the better. As your manager, I'm going to say fine. And as your friend, I'm going to ask you if you're okay. Are you okay, Jason? The playfulness was gone from his tone, and the seagulls in the background chirped, filling the silence as I sat there, debating if I wanted to tell the truth.
I will be, when I get the hell out of here. I don't want to talk about it. Not yet.
Okay. You need to make sure you have your head on straight. I won't let you in the car if you are reckless. I tended to lead with my emotions when I was behind the wheel.
I'll be fine, I said to him, clenching my fist so tight my knuckles turned white. I wanted to ruin this house. I wanted to burn it to the foundation until it was a pile of rubble. Then maybe, all the time Kira and I spent talking outside our bedroom windows like we were teenagers, would burn down with it.
Email me some houses that are on the market. I want to be on the water.
He sighed, and the hiss of a beer opening followed.
All right. How many bedrooms?
Whatever. I don't care. I don't want anything too big. Not like this house.
You got it. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you. I hung up before he could get my attention and talk about anything else.
He did that. He loved to say goodbye, and right when I brought the phone down to press the end button, he'd say, "Wait, wait, I forgot to tell you."
And it would end up being another 30-minute conversation about a girl he met at a bar the previous night and all the things she could do. And there were so many things I wanted to unknow from those conversations. So many things. I tossed the phone on the bed and stretched my arms behind my back, turning my head to the window again, as if she would magically appear. I wanted to ask her why she'd marry him when I thought she and I had something special. She never talked about Vincent, and when she did, it was only ever in passing. I wanted to ask how and when. When did she have the time to love him and not me? How could she love him and not tell me? I stalked forward into my closet and grabbed a few suitcases. I was letting my emotions run me again. But you know what? She didn't even have the nerve to tell me she was getting married. It had been weeks. Weeks! If she didn't have the nerve to tell me, then I wasn't going to have the nerve to tell her I was leaving. That was fair. I grabbed all my clothes from the closet and tossed them into the bags. Nothing was folded. Nothing was handled with care. I emptied my dresser next, leaving the drawers open. The next thing I had to do was close the curtains. Those damn curtains that hadn't been shut since I'd moved in. I walked towards them, staring at the hardwood floor with every step I took. I placed my hands on either side of the wall beside the drapes and hung my head. Why was this so hard? Why did I have to care so much? No matter how many times I told myself she was just a girl, I knew it was a lie. She wasn't just a girl. She was the girl. And I had to close the curtain on the past in order to change the future she was no longer a part of. With a deep breath and shaky hands, I fisted the fabric in my palm and the hooks scraped against the metal rod as I jerked them shut. It was time to move on. My phone rang again, and when I looked at the screen, hope and excitement bloomed in my chest. Kira's name popped up on the screen. And then I saw my bags in the corner, packed and ready to go. I glanced at my phone again as it rang. And rang. And rang. Until it stopped. I let out a deep breath, relieved that I didn't have to answer it. And then it freaking rang again. Out with the old, in with the new. The slogan ran through my mind 100 times in that 1 second as I listened to the ringer. The floors creaked under my steps as I reached my bags. The more I ignored it, the more it hurt. I picked up the suitcases and placed 1 foot in front of the other to walk toward the garage where my Audi waited for me. I could buy a new phone and get a new number. I could get a new house and a new address. But I'd never meet another woman who would have my heart like Kira did. I pressed the button on the wall, and the garage door opened. I could still hear my phone ringing over the metal hinges groaning as the door lifted. I wanted to turn around so bad, but I was leaving the past behind. New home, new phone, new life. My new mantra.
Chapter 2. Kira. Present day. Watching the happy couple share a scoop of ice cream made me happy and bitter. That was me now, happy and bitter. More bitter than happy, but that was neither here nor there. Ice cream. Of course they would have that instead of cake because Emily and Vincent were freaking adorable. And I hated it. I didn't want to hate it. I wanted to be over the moon for them, but I was jealous. I was so damn jealous. I wasn't upset that it wasn't me getting married. I wasn't upset that it wasn't me swaying in a white dress. I wasn't upset that it wasn't me wearing the gorgeous ruby on my finger. And I wasn't upset that it wasn't me sharing a spoonful of chocolate ice cream with Vincent. I was devastated that Jason was gone. And it didn't look like he was coming back. His house was up for sale, and every time I went home, the sign in the front yard with the pretty real estate agent smiling back at me made me grind my teeth. And every time I called him, I heard his phone ring inside the house, but it was clear no one was home. He was angry with me, and he had every right to be, but to just up and leave without a word? To not even talk to me? How could I tell him that I didn't marry Vincent? And now I stood here alone, watching the couple in love, dancing, and wishing Jason was here to sweep me off my feet. I still looked out my window and expected to see him there, but his curtains stayed closed. And while to anyone else, it wouldn't be a big deal. They were just curtains, but it spoke volumes to me. I worried about him, where he was, who he was with, if he was okay, if he was racing. I just wanted to know whether he was alive and well, and maybe then I wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night drenched in a cold sweat thinking he'd died. Hey, I blinked and came back to reality when Emily stood in front of me. Hey, I plastered on a fake smile. I seem to be doing pretty well with fake it till you make it. It seemed to be my life slogan. You guys look great together. I'm happy for you, even though I was a jealous old bitch about it all. Really? Because you look like you'd rather be anywhere else but here. She elbowed me in the ribs, and I tried to laugh, but I still couldn't muster up the energy to show that I was happy for them. I stirred my gin and tonic with a red straw. The ice had melted, and the condensation was dripping down my palm. I sighed. God, I'm so sorry, Emily. I stared down into my drink, ashamed. I hope I'm not ruining your evening. I have a lot on my mind, that's all. Jason? She asked. I blew out a breath that moved some of the hair that had fallen over my face and nodded. Is it that obvious? God! This was a wedding, for goodness sake. I needed to be social and dance, drink, and wake up with a hangover tomorrow and regret all the decisions I'd made. Too bad Vincent didn't have a groomsman. Maybe I could have regretted him in the morning, too. A little. You're over here, all alone, with this forlorn look on your face, like the world is about to end. You're also staring into space. Emily leaned against the bar and smiled at the bartender. A glass of Moscato, please.
Coming up, Mrs. Turner.
She squealed and jumped around. Mrs. Turner, did you hear that? I'm finally his missus.
It took long enough.
I'm glad everything worked out for you. I slid my eyes over to Vincent's parents, and while they didn't look so happy, they didn't look miserable either. Her hand fell on top of my wrist, the giant ruby glistening in the twinkling lights above us, and she squeezed. It will work out for you, too. I know you want love to happen now, but sometimes it has other plans. I waited for 16 years for my happy ending. Yours will come. I know it. I've never heard of anyone having the kind of patience like you do. 16 years? I said on a heavy breath. I couldn't believe it. Having to wait that long would be torture. How she did it, I'd never know. That's amazing. Nothing amazing about it. Are you kidding? She scoffed into her wine glass, watching her husband from across the dance floor, talking to a few people from work. What do you mean? It's an amazing story to tell your kids. Oh, the romance behind it? It's dreamy. I was getting whisked away just in the thought. Her green eyes narrowed as she tilted her head. She was criticizing me with her gaze, and it was unsettling. What is so amazing about it? I mean, yes, we were friends for so long, but the agony and torture of loving someone for all that time, feeling they didn't love you back because they dated other people, slept with other people. I met countless girlfriends, Kira, and when I found out you were engaged to him, I wanted to hate you so much. And I did, for a second. I actually wanted to beat you to a bloody pulp, but I knew it would be frowned upon, so I didn't. I hope there was another reason why you decided not to do that. I swallowed thickly. She might be a small woman, but she was full of might. I had no doubt she could hold her own. And that Vincent wouldn't ever forgive me. I don't feel like that now. I love you now, but then you had the one thing I wanted most in the world, and I was so tired of waiting for him to see me, to notice me, to love me, to want me. And he finally did when I went on that date. Oh, I remember. It was what set everything in motion.
I'm saying that about the 16 years. I would have been okay if I only waited 2 or 3 years, 5 max, but 16 years longing after someone is a lot of time. It wasn't easy. This wasn't a pretty story. Yes, we have our happily ever after, but we could have had it years ago if we hadn't been so stubborn. Do you get it? She asked.
I do, but I also know that he was always meant to be yours. The time wasn't right for all those years, and it is now. She gave me a tilted, knowing grin.
Don't you think you should take your own advice?
No. Giving you advice makes sense. I'm still sad and grumpy. I'm allowed to not take my own advice. It makes zero sense to me.
Vincent strolled over from across the room, and at the same time, Emily turned her head to watch him. They were so in sync with each other. When one moved, the other knew. I was envious. Vincent looked handsome in his navy blue tux, which he only wore because, apparently, Emily had a thing for him in navy blue suits.
Gad, he is hot. I want to take him to the bathroom and...
No sexually frustrated women here. Do not finish that sentence, I said quickly. When Vincent reached us, he smiled at the bride so widely I thought his face was going to break. He spun her around and dipped her, and she yelped, tossing her head back and laughing. He kissed her clavicle and then ran his nose up her neck, and by the blush on her cheeks, he was whispering something dirty. No, I take that back. Something filthy. He lifted her back up, and she cleared her throat, pouring the rest of the wine down it and signaling the bartender for another. Vincent shot her a wink and then reached his hand out to me. I looked back and forth to see if there was anyone else he could be reaching out to. Like his wife? But Vincent was looking right at me.
Can I have this dance, Kira?
I looked at Emily for approval because this was a slippery slope. To be wrapped up in the arms of my ex-fiancé, who I didn't love, I just wanted to throw that out there, and have his wife watch? Well, those stories didn't seem to end well. She shoved me forward, and I slammed into Vincent's chest, and he used that opportunity to drag me onto the dance floor. A slow song played, one I didn't know, and he held one of my hands in the air while the other wrapped around my waist. I followed his lead. He was a great dancer. That damn Vincent Turner was good at everything. Congratulations, Vincent. I'm so happy for you.
It's all thanks to you. I know this wedding cost you, and I can't apologize enough for it.
The dance floor emptied as we waltzed our way around, owning it. He twisted us, dipped me, and made it all look flawless. It's okay. It wasn't meant to be. I'll get over it.
Kira?
What? It's true. He just up and left, with no word.
To be fair, you didn't tell him we were getting married. He found out from me because I thought he already knew.
My eyes fell from his face to his chest. I know. I'll never forgive myself for not talking to him. I stare out my bedroom window and wait for his to open so we can talk, but it just stays shut. I don't think I can live there much longer. It hurts too much.
Well, I know you're from the Upper West Side, but Emily is going to rent out her loft. It's in Brooklyn. I know it isn't an area you're used to, but it's a great space. I mean, you could keep your house and rent the loft. I know you can.
I actually don't know if I can because my father hasn't talked to me since I ended this. When my mother passes, I really do not think I'll get my inheritance. So I'll sell the house because I need the money. I'd love more information on the loft. Thank you, Vincent. After a few more beats and spectacular footwork, he leaned in and whispered in my ear.
He is okay, you know.
I pulled back with wide eyes, my heart thumping wildly in my chest. I wanted more information.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?